Village, hear me. When you come over to visit, don't just ooh and ah at the baby. And do not come over empty-handed. Hey, love. Come sit with me for a second. I am Danielle Lyles Barton, your guide in turning skill into ceremony and care into something sacred. You're listening to Postpartum Liberation, the space where we reclaim the skills, the stories, and the rituals we should have all been taught. Together, we'll co-create the future our ancestors prayed for. Every week, I bring medicine for your hands, your heart, and your spirit, so that every act of care becomes an act of liberation. Welcome to the revolution, love. You're right on time. Close your eyes and picture a room in the early morning. Someone has just given birth. They rest in the soft afterglow of a baby being born. The world has quieted to a hum. There's a kettle steaming somewhere nearby. The scent of ginger and cloves wrapping the room in quiet warmth. The baby is milk drunk on mama's chest, their breath braided into one rhythm. No television, no rush, no clock. Only breath and heartbeat. The air is like a prayer you can feel. This cocoon between birth and becoming is elemental, literally. Every postpartum body is earth, water, fire, and air in dialogue. The uterus, still smoldering with heat, still contracting, is fire. The milk, descending like a river, is water. The bones, heavy and rooted in gravity, that's the earth. And the breath, the prayer, the song, that's air. When we offer postpartum care through the lens of the elements, we can see nature's blueprint for restoration, because every culture once knew this truth. After birth, the elements return to balance. If they are tended, the mother thrives. If they are ignored, depletion begins. So today, we'll talk through what I offer as the pillars of postpartum care. Together, they form deep and transformative elemental medicine. Let's get into it. Way before there were hospitals and discharge papers, there was fire. Before postpartum became pathology, there was fire. Every ancestral tradition protects warmth in the postpartum room. Because after birth, after pregnancy, the body has crossed a threshold. Blood vessels open, temperatures dip, and hormones, they shift like weather. Fire witnesses the crossing from one world to another. It's the element of transformation and alchemy, what turns raw into cooked, seed into bread, pain into healing. The postpartum body loses nearly half a gallon of blood in the hours after birth. The vessels are open and the hormones are flooding, the temperatures are changing and dropping, and the body often trembles. The body's first physiological need? Heat. Fire steadies everything. Warmth supports circulation. Circulation carries oxygen. Oxygen feeds repair. Heat relaxes tight muscles, it eases after pains, and it soothes the nervous system into you're safe. This is why we promote and talk so much about skin to skin immediately after birth. Having that warming, soothing sensation for mother and for baby. This is why We talk about the windows being closed, socks on the feet, broth always within reach. The way your grandmother or auntie always told you to put something on your feet, or was always fussing over why that baby is outside with no jacket on or no hat on their head, that's medicine in action. You will find echoes of this everywhere. All you have to do is look for it. In Shua Ye Zhe, the Chinese practice of sitting the month, in La Quarantena, the Latin American practice of 40 days of warmth and rest, in Gullah kitchens where pots sing and women hum, different names, same truth. Heat is medicine. Science calls it thermoregulation, which is the body re-establishing its internal equilibrium or harmony. Traditional healers have known about protecting the mother from wind and chill and depletion. In traditional Chinese medicine, warmth is law. During Shua Ye Zhe, or sitting the month, I've also heard this translated as the sitting moon, new mothers avoid cold food, cold air, even cold emotions. In Latin America's La Quarantena, the mother's body is wrapped, steamed, and fed bone broth, cinnamon tea, and a thick, warm beverage called atole. In Nigeria, the Igbo postpartum tradition called omoguo uses hot water as a cornerstone in postpartum healing through baths and massages. And some traditions also involve tying the mother's belly with fabric after these hot massages to support the womb's healing process. None of this is superstition. Physiologically speaking, it's genius. It's literally physiology turned ritual. It's regenerative design passed through the hands of generation after generation after generation. Warmth expands blood vessels. It improves oxygen delivery to the muscles, to the organs. It lowers inflammation and it prevents the chills and joint pain that's often associated with quick hormonal shifts. Warmth is the bridge between circulation and soul. And when we ignore it, or when we send mothers home to sterile air-conditioned rooms, we leave their bodies in a low-grade state of stress. Fire asks, how can we keep her warm enough to heal? Warmth isn't only temperature, though. It's very much tone, too. A postpartum room could be 80 degrees and still cold if the energy is harsh. If folks are moving too fast or speaking too loud, if they're doom scrolling instead of witnessing, or if they're only concerned with the cuteness of the baby, then the room temperature may as well be below zero. If mama still has to be on and perform or approve or over-explain or do all the things, then the folks around her have missed the mark. The nervous system is reading everything. The gentleness in our hands, the laughter that fills a quiet house, the ginger tea and the heated compress, and the way we hold her story without judgment. We keep the fire alive by the way we move and the way we speak, slow and with fewer words. We don't gossip in sacred space. We cover the mother's feet, womb, and head, and we cover her. We protect the emotional climate as fiercely as the physical one. Ask any doula and they'll tell you, the moment a nurse barges in, turns on those fluorescent lights with clipboard energy, the milk is gonna let down slower. It's cortisol, the anti-oxytocin. Remember, oxytocin is the feel-good hormone that we need to let milk flow and to bond with our babies. Warmth is oxytocin's love language. Because fire does so much more than just heat or warm the body. It transforms. It burns away the residue of labor and initiates a spirit of alchemy and vitality. Heat softens what's rigid and it circulates what's stagnant. Fire purifies. In so many traditions, new mothers are ceremonially smoked or they're fanned with incense to clear the energy after birth. It's not just aesthetics. Aromatic compounds like frankincense and myrrh are scientifically proven to have anti-inflammatory effects. This is spirit and science yet again holding hands. Ask her to write her fears on paper and burn them. Ask her to imagine her pelvic bowl glowing like an ember, regenerating tissue and power. Take a breath with me. Inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. Ask your client and yourself, where in my own body has the heat gone out? What could I warm again? Relationship? Dream? Discipline? Joy? How can I offer warmth without burning out? Let your breath answer slowly for you. Hey, love. Before we go any further, I've got to tell you about something that will completely change the way you show up in your postpartum practice. If you're soaking this up and thinking, yes, this is the kind of postpartum conversation I've been craving, then you need to be inside Rooted, my weekly newsletter made just for doulas, midwives, and birth workers like you. Every week, I send you your dose of postpartum wisdom and care. We're talking stories, science, strategy, and spirit. All the things we should have been taught and absolutely need to remember. It's like an altar in your inbox. And yes, it's free. But the value, it's the kind that make people say, I can't believe she gives this away. Listen, if this podcast speaks to you, Rooted is your next step, period. So pause what you're doing and head to the link in the show notes. You don't want to miss this. All right, let's get back into it. Because after the fire comes the flood. Water moves in, not to put out the flame, but to help integrate it. Every postpartum body needs that moment when heat softens into flow, when contraction yields to the water's current, and when doing gives way to receiving. We talk about rest like it's a privilege, but in biology, it's law. Sleep is the only state where the brain literally rinses itself out. This is a process called glymphatic drainage. When the mother sleeps, her brain detoxifies, inflammation goes down, and memory is improved. And postpartum rest is more than just sleep alone. It is a whole body immersion into stillness. Hydration supports the milk supply. Tears release stress hormones. Baths lower cortisol and heart rate variability. Rest is not passive. It is the most active repair mechanism that we have. Let me say that again. Rest is not passive. It is the most active repair mechanism that we have. Yet, modern culture worships motion. Snap back, get your body back, bounce back. These phrases are literally insults to biology and to the supreme work of carrying life. When we are trying to rush through recovery, we're robbing the body because postpartum systems are designed to move like water, ebbing and flowing and swelling and receding. So when she rests, prolactin or prolactation rises, cortisol, the stress hormone, falls, and blood pressure stabilizes. When she rests, her bones remineralize faster, her tissues knit themselves back together more cleanly, and her milk comes easier. When she rests, her story is integrated. Traditional rest periods, so we're talking 40 days or 6 weeks or one moon cycle, these are not arbitrary. They're actually timelines that are related to immune system recalibration, right? So they are related to the uterus shrinking down to size. They're related to the early hormone stabilization that is happening. Rest and water are so deeply intertwined, and cultures around the world recognize this. I lived in South Korea for 4 years, and in Korea, the postpartum mother drinks seaweed soup, which helps to restore the blood. In Japan, midwives bathe the mother and the baby together, singing over them. In the southern U.S., our grandmothers drew Epsom salt baths to draw out the aches and the pains. Water knows. It carries minerals, it carries memory, and a warm bath can become a moment for rebirth. Think about it. The mother is submerged again, reclaiming her body, deciding where she ends and begins. The same element that once surrounded the baby in the womb now surrounds the mother for repair. One cycle completes, another begins. Trisha Hersey, the Nat Bishop, writes that rest is not a luxury, it is a portal out of capitalism's grind and into divine pace. When Black women reclaim rest, she says, we're not being lazy. We are remembering ourselves as worthy of pause. That truth applies to every postpartum space. To rest is to refuse extraction. To nap is to protest the empire of exhaustion. And to say, I'm not available right now, is to honor your nervous system's right to reset. And when birth workers guard that right, we are doing social justice work at a cellular level. We hear it often. I can't afford to rest. This is a clear indicator that the village isn't in place, that the village isn't stepping up as needed, or that receiving is a new and foreign language to mama. A lot of times, it's a combination of these. So village, hear me. I'm speaking directly to you right now. When you come over to visit, don't just ooh and ah at the baby. And do not come over empty-handed, okay? I tell my clients to let their loved ones know that there is a trade-off for visiting. So you want to hold the baby? Do a load of laundry first. You want to snuggle with little Olivia? Bring a comforting meal. You want to feed baby boy? Well, he's got bottles in the sink that need tending to first. Are there other kids in the home? Take them to the park and make sure that they feel loved on too while mama rests. Oh, you live in another state or country? Cool. Send funds for a postnatal massage or a lactation consultant. These are simple, yet they have huge impact. And it isn't done nearly enough. Now, part of the work too is on mama. To set the standard during pregnancy. To gather the village very early on, to name her needs, and to actually sit back and receive. To learn, to practice, and to communicate boundaries. To shorten the list of items on that baby registry and put more of her needs on there. The preparation starts early and really even before conception, but definitely once pregnancy has begun. So hear me. Just like you need a birth plan, you need a postpartum plan. Don't go into labor without one. Don't go into that abortion room without one. Your rest, your healing depend on it. For so many, I know that rest is a re-education. When we study trauma, we see that healing happens when the body learns that danger has actually passed. So that learning, that re-education only happens in stillness. Without rest, the body continues to search for the threat. Every muscle is half contracted. Every thought is like half defensive. But when she lies down and nothing bad happens, neurons rewrite their endings. And the body receives a new and a deeper message of peace, of healing, of rest. Water governs emotion. So crying, sweating, lactation, these are all releases. Think of tears as liquid prayers. Let the tears happen. Sometimes that flood of tears is necessary. Sometimes that is the healing. Each tear carries trace minerals of release and renewal. It's a baptism, if you will. So ask your clients how they best release and support them in feeling held enough to do so. Then find and create spaces where you can do the same, birth worker. We cannot preach rest, but be in a drought ourselves. So between clients, create your own river of overflow. Hydrate, nap, journal in or near water. Let one small ritual remind you that you are mostly fluid too, and that you too are deserving of rest. When water slows, it settles. The silt becomes soil. Stories become structure. Rest meets relationship, and community takes form. This is earth, the element of belonging, of containment, of care that lasts long after the midwife packs her bag. Earth is the ground that says, you don't have to hold it all alone. Community is not a luxury. It is the original infrastructure of survival. Before there were social services, there was soil and there was kin. Earth is both literal and metaphorical. The bodies that show up, the systems that sustain, the policies that protect. There's research from the Journal of Maternal and Child Health in 2018 that shows that a strong sense of social support lowers the risk of postpartum depression by almost half. The Harvard Center on the Developing Child found that community stability in the first year of life predicts better cognitive outcomes, get this, for both mother and child. Science confirms what our ancestors have always known. We're not meant to do life alone. And if you know me, you've heard me say that before. I say this all the time. And I understand that modern society has changed things a bit for us. In America, nearly 60% of parents, that's more than half, live more than 2 hours from their extended family. Urbanization and the nuclear family model, it's replaced villages with individual households. So we end up with what psychologist Dr. Alexandra Sachs calls the matrescence gap. This is the period when a woman is transforming, but the culture around her isn't. We see it in statistics too. 1 in 3 feel profound loneliness in the first year. Something is wrong with that. And these numbers are symptoms of disconnection. They're not personal failure. Before colonial disruption, every culture has had its own root system of care. In the Yoruba tradition, new mothers were fed by aunties and massaged by elders for several days and weeks after birth. In the American South, the African-American tradition of the lying-in period included song, porch visits, and community watch schedules. Among the Akan in Ghana and parts of Togo and Ivory Coast, caregiving for the baby has been largely shared within the family and community so that no one person becomes exhausted. This was never a favor. It was just infrastructure. It's earthwork. The village was a living organism of reciprocity. You fed today, you were fed tomorrow. You watched someone's child, they held your grief. The communal soil was rich with exchange. Yet community in the 21st century, it doesn't have to look exactly like it has historically, because community must meet the needs of today, but we owe it to ourselves, our lineages, our ancestors, and our culture to look back, to pay homage, and to build a future rooted in their wisdom. No matter how we slice and dice it, community still needs layers. So layer one, let's start by choosing three people. One who feeds, one who listens, one who prays. That's the core system. If those three are clear, then stability can increase exponentially. Layer two, look at family and chosen kin. Start to assign jobs before the birth. Who brings the food? Who folds the laundry? Who runs the errands? No one shows up empty-handed or directionless. Roles help prevent resentment. Layer three is the professional team. So that's doulas, lactation consultants, therapists, pelvic floor specialists, acupuncturists, all working together like roots underground. And layer four is the wider community, mutual aid groups, church aunties, online villages that actually follow through offline. Layer five, that's our collective work, the political ecosystem, where substantial paid parental leave is a gold standard and a given. We as birth workers on so many levels are soil tenders. We don't replace the village, and our work is not to be the whole village. Our work is to help cultivate it. We teach our families to turn depletion into nourishment, to prevent depletion. Who can bring a meal? Who can watch the baby while you nap? Who can pray? When a family says, "I don't have anyone," we start with one. One neighbor, one friend, one class or public offering, one faith leader, and we hold them as they grieve what they wish they had and what they deserve. What we all deserve. Sometimes, though, earth is rocky. The soil we came from might have been hard or absent or toxic, and in those cases, we have to become our own compost. We gather friends who feel like kin. We gather the mentors who become elders. We gather the co-workers who become community. Psychologist and minister Dr. Tama Bryant calls this chosen soil. I love this. She says, your healing does not require the people who hurt you to water you. We can grow whole forests from new ground. So when they're ready, we support our clients in village mapping so that the medicine is there waiting for them when they need it. Why? Because creating a village cannot be reactive work. The mother's healing is a communal project. And Mother Earth is reciprocal in nature, by design. So we don't just receive. We give and we share. We don't just take help. We return nutrients. Now, for a new parent, that might be as simple as writing thank you notes at 6 weeks or inviting those who helped and supported back for a meal of gratitude. When energy flows back, then the ecosystem stays alive because it's a living, breathing thing. Dr. Emily Greenfield at Rutgers calls this social infrastructure. So she found that neighbors who have strong informal support networks actually have much lower rates of maternal morbidity. Not because they had more money, but because they had more neighbors who showed up. Humans heal faster when someone checks in on them. Oxytocin rises even from a text message or a voice note of care. Earth and hormones are having the same conversation. Belonging equals survival. And we must teach our families to build systems that outlive our contracts as birth workers. Because one day, our contract will be complete. Is that family sustained enough? Do they have what they need to move forward? So as a birth worker, ask yourself, am I modeling reciprocity or rescuer energy? Do I let clients see my own networks, my own village? Am I creating dependence or groundedness? Do I myself have a dynamic ecosystem of support, or am I depleted too? Let your answers guide you into the next deeper level of your own sacred work. Hey, love. If you're listening and you feel this call into deeper mastery beyond the tips and tricks and the checklists, then I am inviting you into Where the Roots Gather, my 9-month residency in postpartum medicine, ritual, science, and lineage keeping. Because our field doesn't simply need more doulas. Our field needs more keepers of the threshold. So join the waitlist and train your eyes to see what others miss. So pause what you're doing and head to the link in the show notes. All right, let's get back into it. If fire warms and water restores and earth holds, then air or spirit is what moves through them all. Spirit is the element that we can't measure, but we can always feel. It's the sigh of relief when the bleeding stops, or the song that's hummed while nursing at night, the prayer that's whispered for the soul in the belly. Air connects. It carries stories and voice and vision. It is the unseen thread. It is the whisper that keeps saying, there's more. The element of expansion, of voice, of the soul remembering its shape after being stretched by pregnancy is spirit. In every spiritual tradition, breath and spirit are the same word. In Swahili, roho. In Hebrew, rua. In Sanskrit, prana. In Kigongo, mpema. In Greek, pneuma. Every language seems to agree. To breathe is to be invoked by something divine. And science catches up yet again. The vagus nerve, our body's longest nerve, winds from the brain to the belly like a sacred river. Every slow exhale we take actually massages it, and every hum literally vibrates it. So when the vagus nerve is calm, then the heart can slow, digestion can stabilize, and milk can flow. Breath is that one doorway into the automatic and involuntary nervous system, or the autonomic nervous system. Breath is the doorway that we can choose. This means that God gave us a built-in altar. So when we teach a mother to breathe slowly, we're teaching her to pray without words. And when we exhale together in postpartum, the air itself becomes medicine. After pregnancy, the body is not the only thing that changes, but of course, identity does too. Whether there was the birth of a healthy baby, the choice to end the pregnancy, or the loss of a child, the mother's story must reorganize around this new beginning. Spirit enters and gives way to make meaning. Psychologists call this post-traumatic growth. Anthropologists call this liminality. We call it rebirth. The moment she says, I'm not who I was, or I miss my old self, she's naming the sacred rupture. And as doulas, we have a really special, really divine opportunity to midwife beliefs. We can ask potent questions like, what do you believe about yourself now? We can hold silence until an answer arises. Because sometimes spirit speaks through our presence alone. When we learn to sit quietly beside a mother who might be grieving or laughing or raging, we become windbreaks. We protect the flame from extinguishing. We don't always need the fancy words. We don't need to fill in the gap immediately. We need breath that doesn't rush and presence that doesn't panic or judge. When spirit is missing from our care in society, everything starts to feel mechanical. We've seen it. We check vitals, but not vitality. We're counting feeds, but not checking in on feelings. We're talking about recovery, but not talking about rebirth. The system teaches providers to fear silence and to fill every moment with tasks. But we know, as sacred birth workers, that healing needs oxygen, space, and time, and pause. We know that without it, mothers will suffocate in perfectionism and snapping back and trying to be this version of a woman or a mother that they've seen somewhere. The reclamation of one's spirit is the reclamation of spaciousness. It's literally the permission to just breathe again. Air is the thing that allows fire to burn clearly. Air is what allows water to flow freely. Air is what allows earth to stay aerated. I mean, really think about it. It is the reminder that everything belongs together. And this postpartum person, in catching their breath, they're literally reclaiming their spirit. For us as doulas, as birth workers, this is the tenderest part of care. It's not just refilling the freezer or managing the sleep schedule. It is midwifing them back to their own voice. It's asking, who are you becoming? And then it's listening for the story that's wanting to be born. After pregnancy, integration is the soul's homework. Gathering every fragment back into belonging. And it's something that can't be forced. We just have to make room for spirit to do its job. Notice how every element inside you, fire and water and earth, depends on this breath to move. Fire warms. Water rests. Earth holds. And air awakens. We need all four pillars for a successful postpartum. Warmth, rest, community, and spirit. These are not separate stages. These are cyclical. They're like breath itself. And every postpartum journey spirals through them again and again. And when we tend to all four, we create harmony. And when one is missing, imbalance creeps in. Without fire, we have depletion. Without water, we have burnout. Without earth, isolation. And without air, well, we have disconnection from self and spirit. Elemental medicine asks us to practice care as ecology, to remember that tending one person is tending the whole planet. Because pregnancy is not only a physiological event. It is cosmological, it is spiritual, and every postpartum body is a small earth being reformed. So love as you listen, Take inventory. Where is your fire? Where is your water? Where is your earth? And where is your air? Which element in you needs tending? Which one do you offer others easily, and which one do you withhold from yourself? Receive a deep breath. Exhale and release. That breath, that's your offering. May you be kept warm enough to heal. May rest find you like a river returning to the sea. May your community be deep and expansive and reciprocal. And may God whisper through your breath, reminding you that you are sacred. If this episode is stirring something in you, if you felt the elements move through your own body, I invite you to subscribe and to share it. Tell another birth worker, friend, parent, healer, come sit by the fire with us. And if you're ready to deepen this work, join me inside Where the Roots Gather, our 9-month residency in postpartum medicine, ritual, and lineage. That's today's medicine, love. I'm Danielle Lyles Barton, and this is Postpartum Liberation. Remember, the revolution doesn't end when the episode does. Carry it into your care. Until next time, stay rooted, stay rested, and stay free.